Hello out there in Halal land. We resume our learning of Sefer Zechariah. We started last week, Perek Aleph. And now we continue in this year. We more or less finished the first chapter. As those of you not familiar, what we said, we're going to adopt something different. Because of the obscure nature of Zechariah, we are going to be learning not pasuk by pasuk, but rather we'll be skipping around, skipping psukim, skipping prakim, to try and get a concept of what the Navi is driving at, albeit it's very hard because we don't know. We don't know what his solutions are. It's not me talking to Malvin, to Barbanel, to the Stavid, and they have great confusion what the Navi Zechariah is talking about. And maybe only in hindsight, when that time will come very soon, the days when Sheikh will arrive, then it'll be clearer what the Zechariah is driving at. We can add that in Zechariah Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zion, Tes Zion, it says, V'chein kol marshan, shavti li Yushalayim berachamim beisi yibane ba, v'um Hashem tzvakol v'kave yinate al Yushalayim. Therefore, says the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth over Jerusalem. Which means, you did not earn it. I have to bring you back. You didn't earn it. And the surveyors, they'll make lines. And in Jerusalem, very interesting, always standing with these yellow street, always measuring. Are working in the city all the time. The city is constantly dynamically expanding. As a matter of fact, in the last 30 years, the population has more than quadrupled. I don't know if there's a city on earth that is similar to this. City, the surveyors are always in business. Okay, so now let's take a peek at Perek Bey's Pasuk Yudalid. Perek Bey Pasuk Yudalid, which is Rani V'Simchi Bas Tzion. It was just a haftarah 2 weeks ago. I don't know when you're going to hear this recording. Rani V'Simchi Bas Tzion, Ki Hin Miva V'Shachanti B'Sorech Noam Hashem. Sing your joy, O daughter of Tzion, for lo I come, and I will dwell in the midst of you, says the Lord. So, and we have this pasuk. You know, we should actually read one before the pasuk of Gimel as well. The Gimel teaches us, "Ki hanogea b'chem nogea b'vas eino ki hinini meini fesyodi aleihem hevshola avim yidatem ki ani Hashem tzvakos shlochani. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall be a spoil to those that serve them. Shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent." Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, God promises they will punish anyone who harms the Jewish people. And then he goes on in this verse to tell us that the Jewish people should be very happy about their salvation. Roni v'simchi, happy about their salvation, they'll experience. Because that day, says the Malbim, the Shechina will then dwell among the people. Pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Bal to Yud Zion, let's just take a whoops, that's going to let's continue. 14 to 17, Yud Beis, Yud Dal to Yud Zayin, our prophecy for the end of the era of Mashiach. Since we know that the things prophesied here did not yet come true during the Second Temple era, starting from chapter 3, the prophecies relate to the immediate future. This is the conclusion of the Radak. We know that it happened by Sheni, so therefore, even though they thought at the time was prophesizing regarding Bayesheni, that didn't happen in the time of Bayesheni. He must be referring to what's going to happen in the future afterwards. That's referring to the time of Bayes Shlishi. Okay, so Pasuk Tevav, Perek Beis Tevav. V'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem b'yom ahu, v'ali la'am v'shachanti b'sochech v'yadata, v'yadata, v'yadat, ki Hashem tzachot l'chutah. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I'll dwell in the midst of thee, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Me, the many non-Jews that will escort, will join themselves to the Lord. Non-Jews connect themselves to be with God. They're going to believe in Hashem. And it says the Malbim, many non-Jews will then convert to Judaism at that time. And then the God's Shekhinah will dwell only with Jews, even though non-Jews will also believe in Hashem, says the Masechta David. And you will know that God, that the good being sent from heaven is mainly for them. And they will receive more of it than even the non-Jews. Pasuk Tes, number 16. Menachal Hashem, es Yehuda, chelko al adma ha-kodesh v'ar'od b'yushalom. And God shall inherit Yehuda as his portion in the Holy Land. And once again, Yerushalayim shall be picked, shall be chosen. In other words, the land of Yehuda will be God's part, and that portion that belongs to Shevet Yehuda, and then God's people will no longer be exiled from it anymore, says Masechta David. God says, if we say that this prophecy is for the immediate future, this verse came true, and that only the tribe Yehuda returned from the exile. That's a proof that it could be talking about by Shani. Says the Star Vachar Ob Yerushalayim, the Shema will again dwell in Yerushalayim. That's what it's referring to. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk. Od Kra Lemor Komar Shem Svakot. Od Tefutsena Arai Mitov. Necham Hashem Od Eszion Vachar Od Yerushalayim. Again, you'll be able to claim and say, thus says the Lord of the hosts, my city shall again overflow with prosperity. The Lord shall yet comfort Sion and shall choose Yerushalayim. All the nations, Has Kol Basar Bnei Hashem. Whoops. Gonna have to pass on this one. All right. We move on to Perek Gimel. Move on to Perek Gimel. First pasuk. Vesa es einai ve'erev hine arba kronos. What in the... I'm sorry. At the end of Pasuk Perek Beis, we have the Pasuk Has Kol Basar Pnei Hashem Ki Ne'or Mim'on Kodesho. I misled you, I'm sorry. So which means, be silent, all flesh, Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. It doesn't mean silent, because all the nations will be frightened into silence. You know, when you're terrified, you just become silent. You can hardly move. You can't find your tongue. Ki Ne'or Mim'on Kodesho. Just as the nations will be quiet, because they will see God rising to punish them, it's as if God has woken up. Many interpreters would mean God has woken up. God is now, he's activated to do action, to take the vengeance. Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. V'yareini es Yehoshua HaKohen HaGadol Omed Lifnei HaMalach Hashem V'asatan Omed Alayno L'sitna. And he showed me, Zachariah is talking, he showed me Yehoshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was on his right to accuse him. This is clearly, according to David, it's a prophetic vision. It's a vision which is seen at night, says David. But Satan, only and Yehoshua, the high priest, was standing trial for his deeds. And Satan was prosecuting him for not rebuking his sons when they married non-Jewish women. Now, a Satan in Hebrew can mean someone who impedes. Let's see what else we have on this, which is Gimel. So this angel, this is a Malach HaDavar B. This is the angel which is speaking to me. The Kohen Gadol even though the Beis HaMikdash was not yet built, not complete, the korbanos were brought. Because the law is that if the Beis is not built, if you have a Mizbeach, you can bring korbanos. And this is what happened over here. The Mizbeach was built, and therefore the Kohen Gedolah belonged to Yeshua because it was an inheritance from his father. He was in the priestly family of Kohanim Gedolim. And Vasatan, that's the Malach that goes to accuse a person for their sins. It goes for the Bezin Shomala. And we see here that we learn out, it's sort of agav, it's not direct learning, that Yeshua was upset. He challenged the fact that he was taking his kahuna gedola. Yeshua himself felt that he was disqualified to be the kohen gadol. He himself felt that the fact that he was intermarried had disqualified him from being kohen gadol. Pasuk Beis, in the third chapter of Zechariah. The Lord said unto the Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Yes, you shall be, for the Lord has chosen you shall not rebuke you. Is this not the thing that's been plucked out of the fire? He is the sole survivor. Is that not the case? In other words, it's Rebigarbacha, it's saying it twice to strengthen, always, it's always to strengthen. We say something twice. Zeh, I mean, this is Yeshua, he is a from the father. He is the one who comes from the family of the priestly Kohanim. Therefore, he asked God to have compassion upon him. Now, how do we know who's talking? How do we know it's the Malach who's talking and Malach Adover Beer? And how do we know it's not the Satan talking? There's a nice proof. Because he says by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to the burning bush at the Sinai, it says, V'yar malach Hashem elav, and it says, V'yar Hashem kisar lirot. And God saw that he's deaf to the side. So sometimes it says malach Hashem, sometimes it calls him malach, sometimes it calls him Hashem. And therefore it says, Yigar Hashem b'cha v'lo, and doesn't say, Hinni goyer b'cha. Yigar Hashem b'cha, talking. So it's a proof that it could mean any one of these. I'm so sorry. This angel is the mental angel who's mentioned in the previous verse who's speaking. That's the Malach HaDover Bi. Yigar Hashem b'cha, Satan, Yigar Hashem b'cha, Habocher B'Yushalayim. Hashem, who has chosen Jerusalem, should scold you, Satan, and he should scold you yet again. Yishlaim is the one who Hashem has decided Yishlaim should be rebuilt, and he's scolding those who interfere with that process. You people who are hindering or inhibiting, who are preventing the rebuilding of the Bais, this is the one the Navi is yelling at. Hello, Zaud Mutsalmiyesh, it's a brand which is plucked out of the fire. He's one of the few remaining Jews in the world, Yoshua. And you want to bring about his destruction by persecuting him? This is the Marikara. According to Chazal, Yeshua was thrown into a burning furnace together with other two false prophets, Achab, the son of Kolaya, and Tzidkiyahu, the son of Maasiah. This is all in Perek 29 in Yirmiyah. At the end. And they're going to be known because they were singed by fire. Yeshua survives this, and his clothes are singed. So if he's a righteous person, asks, how could you let the Satan persecute him? He's a righteous person. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, V'Yoshua haya levush begodim tzoim v'omed lifnei hamalach. And Yeshua was wearing these soil clothing. That is when referring to those children intermarried. And again, he's teaching us this lesson, so we should learn that it's not a devastation. It happens to the very finest families. So it means fine. Now Yeshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the malach. Filthy garments. He was not dressed in the proper clothing of the high priest. That's because the temple had not yet been rebuilt. They did have an altar on which they brought sacrifices, but none of the other accoutrements of the temple, such as the actual building and the special clothing for the Nevi'im, primarily for the Kohanim, were yet ready or prepared or available to them. Yeshua is seen wearing these soiled clothing. They symbolize the sin of not having rebuked his sons, because at this point they're still married to non-Jewish wives. Pasuk Dalet. Vayan vayomer el ha'omdim lifnei lefanav leimor hasiru ha'abgayin ha'tzoyim me'alav vayomer elav re'eh ha'avarti me'alecha avonech v'albeish oscha machalatzos. So he says like this. He answered and he spoke to them and said to them, take the filthy garments from off him. And he said unto him, behold, I cause your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with these robes. Symbolize you'll take off these horrible garments, the accusatory garments, and you'll be able to wear things which be a source of iniquity. So it says in sort of David that the angel told the other angels who were standing in front of him, make room, I want to speak to him. Hey, see Rabbi Adam, so take off the dirty soiled clothing from upon you. So the Malach told the other angels to remove the soiled clothes from Yeshua, which means if he's going to take off the clothing, he's going to take it with divorces their non-Jewish wives. And this will then take away their dirty clothing off Yeshua, because he was connected to this. The sin of his sons was a reflection of him. So we can extend this mashal to all of us, which is that our clothing, as it were, it's an analogy. And what is the analogy? The analogy is that if we do pure acts, then our clothing is clean, tailored, pressed, nice. And if we don't do good acts, then we are impaired. And even our clothing is smelly and odorific and malodorous and unappealing and not haute couture. And that's up to us. We decide the fashion we're going to wear. We're wearing clean clothing, or we have to feel condemned like Shua felt wearing soiled clothing, dirty clothing. But now the Yeshua's merit had been removed, since his sin had been removed, I'm sorry, his merits could be seen, and it's as if he's been dressed in beautiful clothing. Pasuk Hey. Va'omar yasimu tzanif tahor al rosho, v'yasimu hatzanif hatahor al rosho, yalbishuhu begodim umalach Hashem omeid. Which means, and I said, this is still talking to the Kohen Gadol Yeshua, let them set a fair a tznif, in English it's called a mitre. I mean, if you know what a tznif is, that thing that went over the head. And he said, I'll put a tznif upon his head, and they set a fair mitre on his head, and he clothed him with the garments, and on the tznif it says, Kodesh Lashem, God's name is there. And the Malach speaks. Zachar requested that the holy tznif, the mitre, be placed on Yeshua's head, meaning that his offspring would retain the high priesthood, for they had left their non-Jewish wives. So therefore, you can place it on his head, because that means that it's going to go pass down, that they're deserving now, because they got rid of their non-Jewish wives. Yesim tznif hatahor rosho, Zachariah's request was granted. And the mitre was placed on Yeshua's head, and the albishu begotten, and he had already been dressed in fine clothes, as we saw in the previous pasuk. Pasuk Beis. We're now in Pasuk Beis. Okay, which is the Yeshua being mourned by the angel, and we skip over to Pasuk Zion. So we learn in Zion, Komar Shem Tzvakot, Im Bidrochai Telech, Im Es Mishmarti Tishmor, Vegam Ata Tadin Es Beisi, Vegam Tishmor Es Chatzerai, Nesati Lecha Mahalchim Vein HaOmdim HaEla. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and you will keep my charge, and you will judge my house, and will keep my courts, then I will give you free access among those that stand by. Bein ha'omdim ha'ela. Let's learn this one more time. Says Lord, if you walk in my ways, then I will give you free access among those that stand by. Bein ha'omdim ha'ela. Why am I emphasizing this? Because Chazal teach us that a person is one who walks, and a malach stands. And we have the ability to still walk. As long as we're still on this earth, we can still walk and grow and repair and rectify and do better. Whereas a malach is bein ha'om dim ha'ila, they are stagnant, they stay in one place. That's, I think, the freshness says when a person passes away, the Talmud says, ki noch nafshe, when his soul rested, implying that up until that point, it's constant, it's dynamic, it's perpetual movement. But malachim are called ha'om dim ha'ila, they stand in one place, they're not going, they're not moving, they're not changing. A person has that privilege, as long as they're alive, they can still improve and change. Malachim, they're stagnant, they only have one thing to do. We always have to try and make sure that our lives are indeed so active that the only rest we'll have is v'sham yanuchi gekoch, then we'll rest, but otherwise we're here to be busy. That's, I'll tell you a little anecdote, the story of how my youngest daughter got her name. We were on a tiul in the south of Israel, and it was during Sukkot. I've always been makbid not to eat out or drink outside Sukkot b'leinetar. I never did that. And we're honest, it was a very hot day, and I was parched, and I was looking for a sukkah, and we couldn't find one. So we drove into a kibbutz called Yad Mordechai. Yad Mordechai is named after the hero of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, Mordechai Yanulevich. And this kibbutz was founded by Holocaust survivors, and they named it after the great hero Mordechai Yanulevich. So we go in there, it's not a religious kibbutz, and couldn't find a sukkah. Even though it's Sukkot, driving, couldn't find a sukkah. By the way, Yad Mordechai has absorbed its undeserved portion of missiles coming out from Palestinian territory. It's very south on the border of Egypt. There was a major battle with Egypt in the 48 war that took place on the periphery of Yad Mordechai. Anyways, back to our story, which is... So we're in this kibbutz, and I can't find a sukkah, and I'm very parched. And then we go by this little hut, and it says on it, Beit Hadvash Vahadvara, the house of bees and honey. And I must tell you, I'm not all that interested in this little bee museum, but it has a very big attraction, which is a sukkah outside its front door. Little did I know that Yad Mordechai is the largest manufacturer of honey in Israel, but I became wiser after that. So my daughter, Sheva, she is always the family spokesman. We sent her to go into this. We were afraid that my family, Bli and her, have been blessed with a large family. When we travel, we go by bus. And I was afraid if they were going to see all these Haredim coming into this little museum, they would not want so many people to come in. So we dispatched Sheva, our spokesman, to go into the museum and get permission from her family to come in. So she goes inside and she says, would I be able to come into the museum? She said, yes, you can come in, girl. And they said, I have other people with me. Who do you have with you? Just the family. Okay. And so we start piling into this. Well, everyone gets off the bus, piling kid after kid after kid after kid. Their eyes are like in the cartoons. Boing, 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 boing. I can't believe it. It's just one kid after another. It's just one family. Okay, so I must tell you that this museum, I didn't intend to go in there. I just wanted to be able to drink something in a sukkah. But it was the most interesting museum I've ever seen. I've been all over the world. And the bee is so industrious, hence the expression, as busy as a bee. For the time the bee is born until it dies, it's constant dynamic, perpetual motion. 24 hours doesn't stop. And I liked how industrious it was. And I remember getting into the bus afterwards and I said, Kinderlach, if we're blessed with another child of the female persuasion, we're definitely going to name it Devora after the bee. So we were blessed, and I came back from shul that day and my kid said, Abba, you didn't, did you? I said, you didn't, did you? I said, I named the girl after this bee we saw in the museum. Her name is Sarah Devora. That's the Devora part of it. And my kids were so upset, so irritated, that I named their sister after an insect. She's been called Bee ever since, or Sarah Bee. But that's everyone knows her as Bee, because she's not named after a Devora, she's named after a bee. The industrious bee. So the Malachim are Mahalchim. They stand, they're omdim. And our job is to be walkers. I refer you to the writings of Rabbi Dr. Shia Tursky, Dr. Abraham Tversky, who uses this as a seminal pasuk. Malachim stand still, but people are to walk, to grow, to keep on moving. We are to be dynamic. Im bidrachai teleich, says the Navi, if you go my way, if you go my way, if Yeshua's offspring to go in Hashem's ways, kim ata tod in espesi, then the following phrases are part of the condition. This is the reward for being faithful to Hashem. She'll be in charge of the temple, and Yeshua, being the high priest, is to make decisions for the other priests. From here on are the rewards of the children, are the rewards for the children of Yeshua, for they are going to be in charge of the bayis. Gamtishwar Chatzerai, and Yeshua and the other priests will guard the temple, and they're going to receive a reward. It's a reward in really of the previous phrase. And you will walk amongst these eternal angels that stand forever, and your soul will join them. And this will be the reward for all of the above. Besides the earthly rewards that they will receive as reward to the world to come, they will also join the angels. That's good. Pasuk Ches. Shmana Yeshua Kohen HaGadol Ata V'Riecha HaYoshim Lefanecha Ki Anshei Mofes Hema Ki Hinini HaEven Asher Nasati Lefana Yeshua Al Even HaAchas Shiva Einayim Hinim Fateach Tucha Yom Hashem Tzvachos Umashti Es Avon HaAretz HaHi Bayom Nechad. So here we begin with one of these visions that's very, very hard to comprehend. At least let me render for you the translation. Shmana, listen carefully. Listen up, Yeshua the high priest. You and your fellows who sit before you, they are all men. Here is a sign. Behold, I will bring forth my servants. Did I do it again? Yes, I'm sorry, I skipped. You're in. I'm sorry. Okay, no, we didn't make a mistake this time at least. Here now, the high priest, those fellows that sit before you, here's a sign. Meaning. I will bring forth my servant, the shoot. Avdeitza, my servant, the shoot. The growth, the beginning, sap. In other words, the priest who is sitting in front of Yeshua deserves to have miracles happen to them. Those people that are sitting in front of Yeshua, they have returned from the exile, and therefore they've experienced a very miraculous salvation. Chazal say that the people who were sitting in front of Yeshua were Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, who, like him, had experienced the miracle of being saved from a burning furnace. As you remember, I think it was last time we learned, how according to one opinion, Yeshua, what is it, why is Zechariah Ud Mutzalmiyesh, a remnant that has survived the fire? Some understand that he was thrown into a furnace. So how appropriate is that he should now be brought before him, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who also experienced the miracle of being having saved from a burning furnace. This means the shoot, that's David HaMelech. He's sending his servant Zerubbabel, the scion of the house of David, to help rebuild the base of the temple. That's why it's called Beis David, because this is a person who continues the way of David HaMelech. Now, Zerubbabel had already come, but Zacharias is saying that he will become even greater, like a growing plant. He'll become so much more powerful. And indeed, in this Navi, the hero really is Zerubbabel, the one who brought back the people. He's going to influence the building of Beis HaMikdash. The key pasuk about him are going to keep in shrouded in secrecy until we actually get to it. And it says that God is going to send Mashiach, as it says in Perek Beis, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Hei in Yirmiyahu Navi, Bakimosi LaDavid Semach Tzedek. Okay, now we're up to Pasuk Ches. Ki hinei ha'evin asher nasati lefanai Yoshua al evin achas shiva einayim. I don't know if I read this earlier. Here we have this strange thing. Behold the stone I have laid for Yeshua upon which are seven facets. Seven eyes. I will engrave the graving thereof, says the Lord of hosts. And I will move the iniquity of the land in one day. What is this? Seven with all these grooves? There's a stone that has already been set aside to be the cornerstone of the final base of Mikdash that will be built. This is the assertion of Zechariah, there's a cornerstone that's been laid aside. It has these seven grooves, these seven eyes. And it's this stone that Zerubbabel will place before Yehoshua to be used as the cornerstone of the new bayis. Every stone in the building will have Hashem watching over it personally, as if it were having seven eyes, so not be harmed by those who wish to stop building in the process. The number seven is used here to denote many. Many of the places we have that seven means many, many eyes. The number seven eyes watching him over this temple are those of, who are these eyes? Yehoshua, Ezra, Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi. Those are the seven eyes. This so says the Radak. So, on the cornerstone receiving Zerubbabel, Yeshua carved seven eyes to express that Hashem's seven eyes, God's seven eyes, meaning the laws of nature, will rule over the world from now on through the temple. Here will be the source that God's nature of his way of being manhig and ruling the world will be emanating from the Beis HaMikdash. And I will, I'll open up a p'tucha, open up an opening. God is saying, I will beautify the stones. In other words, he'll give the people strength and will help them in their labors. God is going to release the stones, which were tied at this time till the building process had been stopped, had been arrested. Now, the natural hashgacha will not last forever. And we'll see in the next section, it will be elaborate how when the Mashiach comes, God is going to rule over the world directly. God himself will rule over the world directly. All the sins of the land will be erased in one day because no one's going to sin anymore. That's how much it will be out of our Pasuk Yod. We're in the third parak, Pasuk Yod. V'yomahu yinum Hashem tzvakot, tikra'u ish l'riehu al tachas gefen, al tachas te'ena. There will be much, well, let's get the translation here. On that day, listen to this. We've heard this before. This is always the nevuah. This is the metaphor for the ideal situation. On that day, says God, then every man will be, will call his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Meaning, there'll be much peace and much good in the land. We'll call to each other to join them under the fruit trees to enjoy the fruit. Or, Gimel Yud, we also have, especially when we're expected to find in Mepharshim, on that day, meaning when that shoot of David will be revealed, that day there'll be peace and harmony in the land. And this means sitting under the vine, sitting under the vine, that's always the ideal, the idyllic situation of the end of days. We're up to Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Vayashav Hamalach Adayver Bi Vyavi Reini Kiish Asher Ye'ur Mishnato. And the angel that spoke with me returned. And he walked and he waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep, awoken from his sleep. So why is God getting excited? Why is God getting agitated? Why is God waking up to this? He knows what's going to happen. It can't be that he was in the dark. So this is what we have to explain. The angel that was speaking to me, the Malach HaDover B, he appears several times in previous psukim and in other places. It was that angel that had spoken to Zechariah before, during the last vision, and now he returns. In the previous vision, the angel did not speak to Zechariah, and now he returns to speak to him. And the angel woke up Zechariah, like a man who is awakened from his sleep. Zechariah was in a state of that was resembling sleep. Now Zechariah felt that as if he had woken up, but really it's not that he woke up, he was really going from one vision to another vision. That's what happens. Furthermore, Zechariah had not understood the previous vision, referring to God's seven eyes of the stone, and therefore what he did was he fell into a very deep sleep, meaning that God's message was hidden from him. Then the angel came to him again, awakened him, and showed him yet another vision which would explain the first one to him. That's what the Malbim says. That's odd, not fucking nice. Just one second. Alright. Pasuk Beis. And this is what Yeshua saw. What did you see? So he said, I'm sorry, Zechariah is talking. What did I see? And he said unto me, what do you see? And I said, I've seen, and behold, there's a candlestick of gold. There's a menorah that's gold. With a bowl on top of it, it has seven lamps thereon. And there are seven pipes, seven to the lamps, which are now up on top of themselves. I'm going to try and explain this to me. I cannot tell you. Maybe we'll discuss another, we'll figure it out once and for all. What do you see? In this vision, unlike the previous one, Zechariah was asked to describe what he was seeing. A little bit similar to what we have in Amos and Yirmiyah. Okay. Zechariah saw a golden menorah, and on top of the menorah there is a golden cup, which was a receptacle for oil. The cup was containing oil. Zechariah saw the central stem of the menorah made of gold, and on top of that he sees the bowl containing oil. The menorah has seven branches. Listen carefully, because I'm trying best as I can explain this. The menorah has seven branches, each ending with a candle, a small cup in which the oil and the wick were placed. Each of these small cups had seven tubes connecting to the big cup on top of the menorah, that the oil would drip down to pour latzeket automatically into the cups. I think it means the following. Picture a menorah. There's a menorah here. On top of the menorah, there's a bowl, a basin of oil, and this oil then drips into the stems, which then go into the cups, which have a light. So the oil which drips down goes into one receptacle, which then goes into the oil on top, and then feeds the arms of the menorah. I believe that's the pshat. This menorah is similar to the menorah that was in Beis HaMikdash, but that is the similarities. That's as far as it goes. Those are the similarities. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Ushnaim zeisim aleha echad miyamin hanu agula vechad asmula. And two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other side, and one on the left side. Zeisim, it's an interesting word. Zeis means an olive, it also means an olive tree. Here referring to not one olive anise, that's not a martini, there are two olive trees. The two olive trees stood on either side of the menorah, and the olives would fall into the bowls and be crushed. There's two olive trees there, and their olives then fall into the bowl on top of the menorah, and they're crushed. And the oil which is produced would then flow through the tubes into the big cup on top of the menorah. By the way, this idea, I told you that sometimes a tree is called, an olive tree is called a zayit, and an olive is called a zayit. So how could the tree be called? This is something which is done in Hebrew. You have it also by a shaked. Shaked means an almond. Shaked means an almond, also means an almond tree. Okay, an almond tree is blossoming. So now let's see the pasuk Dalin. Dalin teaches us. Pasuk Dalin teaches us. Va'an va'omar ela malach adover b'ilemor ma'ela Adonai. And I answered and spoke to the angel that spoke with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? What are they? What does this vision mean? What does it mean? What's the time? Okay, sorry about that. So the Malach says, he wants to know, what does this mean? Zechariah sees trees that are standing next to this menorah, and the olives are coming down into the menorah, they're being crushed, and the oil is going to feed the lamps. He doesn't know what is the meaning of this vision. He doesn't say, what's the matter of the olive? What is the point of the olives being crushed without human intervention? What's the point of the oil being produced automatically without humans being involved in making the shaman zaitzach? So we have in Pasuk Hei. Pasuk Hei teaches us, Vayano malach ha-dover b'viyomer elai halo yadata ma'ahema ela lo adonai. An angel spoke to him and he answered and said, you know what these are. And I said, no, my Lord, I don't know what they are. I don't know. Zechariah did not understand the vision. Even though the angel, Amal HaDorbi, the angel thought that he was capable of understanding it. Zechariah claimed that he did not understand the details of the vision. Even though he knew that the deep symbolism of the menorah, I'm saying the interpretation of the Malbim, he did not understand how the connection between the symbolism and the vision. He knew what he's seeing, but he didn't know what was the connection between this and how to interconnect. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer, Vayaan, Pasuk Vav, Vayaan, Vayomer Elai Lemor, Zedvar Shem El Zrubavel Lemor, Lo Vechayel Velo Vechoach, Kiim Beruchin, Amar Shem Zakov. Very famous Pasuk. And this is what he said. And he answered and he spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zrubavel, saying, not by night, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Meaning, Lo Vechayel Velo Vechoach. So let's first see what we have over here. The seven, eyes on the stone is the same solution, the same interpretation, same understanding we have for the seven menorahs, seven lamps, is the same interpretation we're supposed to have for the seven eyes. In other words, the different vision, which is the same thing, is to strengthen the God's promise that God will choose Rubavel, his servant, to be the tzemach to Beis David. He will be the successor of Beis David, who will be able to rebuild the bayis. Lo b'chayil, now with strength. Even though Rubavel did lack strength, he didn't have an army. He didn't have exterior strength to stand before the goyim. Nonetheless, he is going to save the Jewish people because his nation, his army, his people are not dependent upon chariots and horses and tanks. But Beruchi, but the Spirit of God, that is one that's going to be strengthened and successful, as Ishai says as well. So what's the vision for Zerubbabel, who's building the bayis? Is that the Mashiach will come from the seed of Zerubbabel. Just as the oil is produced by itself without human effort, so the temple will not be built through your physical efforts but through the Spirit of God, which is going to rest on Dar Yavesh, and he will supply you with all that you need to finish the building, says Rashi. Likewise, just the oil is produced by itself. Likewise, Mashiach's arrival in the world will not require any wars or bloodshed or spilling of blood or physical battles. It's going to come by itself, as it would. As it would come by itself. It doesn't mean that the nations will subject themselves. Excuse me. It means that God's true servant, that they're going to subject themselves to the will of God on their own accord. And God's true servant, that is the tzemach, that is the root from David, the seed of Zerubbabel, will come. And then God's will of the world will be direct, not through natural means, and not through the angels. It's going to be directly from God. Pasuk Zion, Perek Dalet. Mi'ata har gadol.
Chain, chain, love.
The famous Chaim Chaim, which we all know. It's on all the Teller Ventures, and it's also in the Navi, it's in Haftarah. Chaim Chaim La, the end of that, Rani Vesimchi ends by Chaim Chaim, shows Chaim Chaim La, any venture worthy of anything, we have the Chaim Chaim at the bottom, appreciating people, acknowledging they're coming to the Chasna. So let's give a translation over here. What is it? What are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel, that you shall come as a plain to bring forth the top stone with the shoutings of Chen Chen, grace, grace unto it. Thank you, the grace. What is all this talking about? It means the prophet is speaking to all those people who were trying to prevent the building of the bias. And he's saying to them that it will no longer be like a mountain before Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, he came up to a roadblock. There was a mountain in front of me. You can't get rid of the mountain. What's going to happen? It's simply going to be a plain. Be easily passable. So the prophet is speaking to the king of Gog. We learned about Yechezkel, Perek, Lamed Ches, and Lamed Tes. Do you think you'll be able to stand like a mountain in front of the Mashiach? And you'll be able to prevent him from making his way? No. You will not be like a mountain that can prevent anyone from passing it. On the contrary, you're going to be like a flat plain, like a pancake. Flat plain, and nothing can prevent the Mashiach from crossing over you. The prophet is speaking to the mountain of Moriah, Har HaBayit, in which the cornerstone will be mentioned above will be hidden, and it will be commanded to become a plain. Now let me suggest to you my own thing. I wanted to check this out, and I regret I didn't do it before class today, is that we call it Har Moriah, the mountain of Mount Moriah, that is the base of Mikdash, we call it Har HaBayit, and as we all know, it's not a har, and the country has to walk down to get to it. So I thought maybe this is what Zechariah HaNavi is saying, is that really it was standing like a mountain, it was impossible to get to it, and then God lowered it like a plane. Maybe that's interpretation. The architect will take the measuring stone and head the builders in the process of building the temple, which will be beautiful and arouse murmurs of admiration from the people. Oh, wow, it's a beautiful, what a beautiful, chen, chen, boy, what a beautiful. Mashiach will take out the good, important stone and lay it as the cornerstone of the Bais HaMikdash, and we'll see the stone will acknowledge its importance. And this stone will be revealed as the mountain flattens, and everyone will be pleased with it. And unlike the reaction when the second Bais was built, this reaction of dismay on the part of the older people, when they saw the second Bais, people were so distressed, they remembered the beauty, the grandeur, the splendor of the earlier Bais, Bais Rishon, which Bais Sheni didn't have, and they were very appalled because they didn't have the magnificence of the first Bais. That's not going to happen. When God lowers the mountains, there'll be no obstruction to get to the Har, then people will be very much amazed by how beautiful it is. They'll be murmuring about its beauty, talking about it. We can also add, that there'll be nothing that'll be able to stop and impinge. They'll be able to go very straight like a plane. And chen chen is like yofilach. It's just beautiful. It goes chalak. It's great. It's simple. Everyone's going to express their gratitude to God. Pasuk ches and tes. Ches and tes. Vahid var Hashem elai lemor. Yidei Zerubbabel yistu habayis hazeb yadav tivatzana v'yadata ki Hashem tzvakot shlachani aleichem. So God comes and he says like this, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house, and his hands shall also finish it. And then you will know that the Lord of God of hosts, he is the one who has sent me unto you. So Zerubbabel is the one who started building the bayis, and says Rashi, he's going to build and he's going to finish it. Then Zerubbabel started building the Bayis Sheni, and his children will eventually complete the building of the Bayis Shlishi, that was like a completion of the Bayis Sheni, which had lacked many things. We know it didn't have the grandeur, the splendor, the magnificence of the Bayis Sheni. Pasuk Yud. Kimi vaz leyom ktanot v'samchu v'ra'u es ha'evan ha'bdil Yad Zerubbabel. Shiva Eila, Eini Hashem, Heima Meshotatim, Bechal Haaretz. For who has despised the day of small things? Even they shall see with the joy the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, even these seven which are like the eyes of the Lord, that run to and fro through the whole earth. Now, what in the world does that mean? What in the world does that mean? Okay, those who are upset at the inauguration of the Bayis Sheni will now become happy. They will see the measuring stone in Zerubbabel's hand as it prepares to measure the proper place for the corner of the building. And each stone which is already there, says Rashi, seven more will be placed on each stone that already exists. Now, those to whom this temple seems small, those who belittle it will be happy when they see the seven eyes on the stone. These seven eyes do not represent the ways of the natural world as they had thought, but rather the eyes of God, His direct miraculous hashgacha on the world. And that explains the vision of the menorah. Do I understand what I'm saying? No, I'm just telling you what the Malbim is telling you. That they'll see the eyes. I don't know, that's why we're just glancing at what he's saying. This explains the vision of the menorah. The seven branches are God's seven eyes to light the world and watch over it from the temple. I find great difficulty imagining God having one eye, having seven eyes, but this is what the Navi is saying, at least according to the Malbim. Now, the last few psukim here are further clarification of the details. The two olive trees and their symbolism. And we know, lo b'chayv, lo b'choach, it's not with strength, not with might, but it's the Spirit of God. Okay, are we ready to conclude today's session? Okay, today we conclude, and we'll begin next time, Yirtashem, with Perek Hei of Zechariah.